Good morning, everyone. So activate your geopolitical memory now. In 2003, in the midst of the worst of the Iraq War violence, headlines came from Liberia. This man came into the headlines.
I wouldn't have to worry about that. The international community is going to act here, and I hope they act in the interest of the Liberian people. And I'll just leave that to the new guy to worry about.
That's former Liberian President Charles Taylor speaking to reporters in 2003 after saying finally he would step down from office after becoming one of the most notorious human rights violators and fugitives in the world. He's now on trial for those human rights violations in The Hague. But today in a court in Miami, Charles Taylor's son, Chucky Taylor Jr., is scheduled to be sentenced for his crimes. He was convicted in October in the first test of a 1994 U.S. law allowing U.S. citizens to be prosecuted for alleged acts of torture committed overseas. It has implications for international law as well as domestic prosecutions. With us to discuss the Taylor family troubles is Jay Weaver, federal courts reporter for the Miami Herald. Jay, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So what is the Miami community's reaction to this trial, and how fascinating has it been to watch the legal implications of trying someone for crimes committed outside the United States like this?
Well, I think this case is rather unique because obviously it's a landmark case. It's the first time in the United States that this 1994 law has been used, this torture law has been used. And it has not riveted the Miami community, nor would it, because Chucky Taylor Jr. was not from this community. He had grown up in Orlando, but wasn't even originally from there. He was originally from Boston, where his father had once gone to school. And as far as the international community and the national community, they are riveted because they were very interested in the outcome of this prosecution because much was riding on it. It was very politically fraught because you had the United States, using the long arm of the United States, prosecuting, the son of the former president of Liberia on torture charges. And, think about it. We have had Abu Ghraib. We've had the CIA interrogations called into question and their techniques, such as waterboarding. We've had all kinds of things, during the post-11, 9/11 era called into question. And so here we were prosecuting, this son of the former Liberian president. So there was a certain irony in that. There was a certain hypocrisy in that, according to some. And at the same time, there were Human Rights Watch groups and other NGOs and law enforcement officials and the Justice Department who wanted to come down on this man, this 31-year-old man, very heavily to set an example.
Well, there's also an irony about the traditional relationship, and I hope you'll remind us of that, the traditional relationship between the United States and the nation of Liberia, a nation founded by former slaves from the United States. How did that figure into the trial, if at all?
Well, it didn't. Being a trial and having limitations to evidence, what did come in, the only thing that really came in, was that the defense attorneys could bring up the issue of the dire economy, the abject poverty, sort of the social context of life in Liberia. And that was to show, the kind of misery and the kind of, quasi-civil war that was going on between the Taylor government and these rebels in a way to sort of not necessarily justify the son's behavior as the head of what was known as the Demon Forces, this anti-terrorist group, but it was basically used to at least give a sense of why he was doing what he was doing. He was trying to put down, through oppression, through torture, the men and some women, but mostly men, who were opposed to his father's rule. So it didn't get into that history, but it certainly got into the current context of the strife, the civil strife in this West African nation.
Jay, you talk about the long arm of the U.S. government here, but I'm wondering if maybe from the perspective of a lot of foreign nationals whose children spend time in the United States getting an education, some even, acquiring wealth in the U.S., the U.S. is long known as a sanctuary for all kinds of people who have various sorts of nefarious reputations around the world. If it doesn't seem like such a long arm of the U.S. government and this sense of refuge is maybe threatened by this trial.
Well, that's true. And that's what this trial really is all about. The question is, will the United States government, the Justice Department, ever use this law again to crack down on anybody who attempts to come into the United States, as Chucky Taylor did in March 2006, when his father was being charged in The Hague. He came from Trinidad. He was picked up on a passport violation, and he thought he could get in. And the Immigration and Customs Enforcement was already on to him. They had already been investigating, you know, arms trafficking activity in Liberia. Witnesses there had already ratted him out. So when he came in the United States, you know, authorities were prepared for him and arrested him immediately. This will definitely affect others, too, and it will have to be a post-1994 type of situation because, as you and I know, back in the 1980s, there were all kinds of, you know, Salvadoran, Nicaraguan, and other types of Central American thugs who were, you know, military figures who came to the United States to seek safe haven in Florida and elsewhere.
Right.
Well, they've done so without, you know, any kind of retribution, and so what we have here is a post-94 context. And so, yes, anybody who was part of any kind of torture, systemic torture in a foreign government, you know, would be foolish to try to come in the United States to seek safe haven.
And that could be, you know, a legacy from the Bush administration, this whole prosecution. Quickly before we go, what kind of time, what sort of sentence does he face?
The prosecutors would like to effectively have the judge give him a 147-year sentence, a life sentence, by consecutively linking together the maximum penalties for each of the torture counts. They want to do that by asserting that he murdered one of the seven victims cited in the indictment. A judge has the leeway to do that. The question is, will she do it? Hmm. The defense is looking more at a 7 to 20-year sentence. That would be a good thing, all things considered.
Right.
But, you know, we'll soon find out because in about an hour, the sentencing hearing will begin.
Jay Weaver, federal courts reporter for the Miami Herald, thanks so much for setting us straight on all that.
Thank you.
Jay Weaver is the federal courts reporter from Miami, reporting on the Chucky Taylor Jr. trial, scheduled to be sentenced in an hour in Miami for crimes committed outside the United States.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.